The book of Jude. The book of Jude. Let's look tonight at this book of just a few verses. And I want us to look at the text and the context. This is a very interesting book. And I want you to read, to watch closely as I read verses 1 through 3. We will refer to a few other verses in the book in just a few moments, but right now I want you to see verses 1 through 3, and I'm reading Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now notice in verse 2, see if you pick up a difference here, a change. Mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered under the saints. There's a switch. He begins with an emphasis referring to salvation. And then you'll see the difference, particularly in verse 3, where he's going to instruct about invasion. Not salvation, but invasion. And I'll explain that in just a few moments. But let me just point out a few things by way of introduction. You need to understand that in this book, the focus is on false teachers. And if you look at it closely, carefully, you'll find that it echoes Peter's warnings in 2 Peter chapter 2. So there's a connection here between Jude and Peter. And with Jude starting out with one subject, one thing on his heart, the Spirit of God deals with him, changes him almost immediately so that he begins to address an issue that is so prevalent even in our world today. And so these false teachers that he's going to refer to. Now, don't miss my wording. These false teachers that he's going to be referring to. They were creeping into the church undetected. In other words, very capable, with a high intellect, and a very persuasive personality, and a way by which in explaining things, they would spiritually seduce the people. That's what was going on. And so Jude is burdened about this by the Spirit of God, and he's going to offer correction concerning this. But you want to notice now, look in your text at verse 19. Verse 19. Notice what it says. These, referring to these ones who are going astray, these ones who are invading. Watch this now. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the what? And notice, capital S. Holy Spirit. So, They don't belong to God. They are not saved. They are pretenders. They are fakers. And they present themselves in such a way that they win many over to their own position. And that's going on all over this country tonight, in churches, in Christian movements. And so you see a description in verse 19. And what's really here being explained is that these unsaved ones, they're ungodly. They're unprincipled. They're people who use the grace of God as an excuse for sin. In other words, you could call them radical freedom lovers. That's what you could call them. Did you know that there is a movement? There is even a book written that's called Radical Grace. And what does Radical Grace say? Primarily it says that when you're saved, it doesn't matter what you do. That you can do anything you please because you're saved. Now, that is a satanic doctrine. There's not a thing about that that is biblical. But you have these kinds of folks in many, many churches. And not just going astray churches, but in Bible believing, Bible preaching, Bible practicing churches. You have it. And so if you watch this closely now, you will understand that these who teach this, these who are this way, they're like Balaam. You remember Balaam. He used religion for the sake of what? Money. Money. Balaam. You find his description in Numbers 22 through chapter 24. Or, like Korah, they defy the word of God, number 16, and the authority of God's servants. Or like Cain, they have no saving faith, but they do have religion, Genesis 4. So, when Jude wrote this letter, when he began to address the issue, you and I, we must be very careful that when we read something that is of this nature, don't just pass over it lightly. When you read the verses, read them very carefully. Think about them in your meditation, in your musing. Don't let things slip simply because we're in an age that emphasizes rush. Get it done. Quickly. Get on to something else. Don't let that influence you when you approach the Word of God that came from the heart of God, that is preserved by God and is for our benefit today and does not need to be updated. Amen. If you update this scripture, it's a downgrade. The scripture is complete. The canon is complete. There's nothing wrong with it. And when you preach it, teach it, live it, breathe it, sing it, it is preserved by God, so don't let anybody tell you that we need to change this word because it doesn't really explain to the modern thinker today what they ought to know. Baloney! Not true! So, when you begin to see the greeting in verses 1 and 2, And then you see the purpose for the writing in verses 3 and 4. And then if you'll follow this outline before we get into the meat of the text. There are examples of history given. Verses 5 through 7. Talks about unbelieving Israel. Verse 5. Talks about evil angels. Verse 6. Talks about Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 7. And there are examples of godless beings in verses 8 through 11. Men, verse 8. Satan, verse 9. Persons, Cain, Balaam, Korah, verse 11. There are descriptions, verses 12 through 16. There are contemporaries, verses 12 through 13. There are saints and sinners, verses 14 and 15. There are grumblers, verse 16. Their exhortation to believers, verses 17 to 23. Remember the gospel, verses 17 and 18. Avoid the heretics, verse 19. Persevere and pray, verses 20 and 21. Show mercy, verses 22 and 23. And then there's the doxology in verse 24 and 25. So, here's Jude. With all of that having been stated as an outline of what is in the book, when Jude wrote, he writes to believers. And he writes to believers who need counsel and encouragement to oppose the doctrines of these false teachers. That's why he's writing this now. So this is a warning flag that he raises in the statements that he makes by the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a principle in verse 2. See, here it is. When mercy is shown, don't miss this, peace results. Let me say it again. When mercy is shown, peace results. And peace is the restoration of broken relationships. Did you get that? And then, when you understand the blessing that the peace brings, it brings about spiritual and material, hear me, prosperity. You know, let me ask you a question. Do you think, now I'm not talking about being faithful. I'm not talking about sticking to the Word of God. I'm not talking about being unmovable as a child of God when it comes to the Scripture. But let me ask you something. Do you think stubbornness is a sin? Of course. Do you know anybody who's stubborn? You say, yeah, you're looking at him. Do you not think that if you're aware of that in your life, do you not think that you ought, don't you think that you ought to face that? Don't you think you ought to take that to God? Have you ever been around a child of God that again and again has a mean spirit? Do you justify that? What do you think about a child of God, which I've heard? A child of God who has something happen and they'll say, oh my God. Excuse me? Do you know that the world has so made that popular that even Christians have bought into it? And do you realize that when you do that, you take the name of the Lord your God in vain? You realize that? You see, here's my point. If you know what's right, and you don't do what's right, your next step, you will do what's wrong. Oh, yeah. The scripture is filled with verification of what I just said. If you don't do what's right, when you know what is right, your next step, you'll do what is wrong. There's a principle. So, with the in-depth ideas that Jude has, he puts on display the very necessity where all of these things must be practiced in the Christian life. We're not talking about perfection, but we are talking about intention. And when I intend to do what's right, instead of not intend to do what's right, I'll be doing what's right more often than I don't. Amen. So I intend. Now, do you sometimes fail? Yes. But you see, here, Brother Ron, let's suppose that I fail. No. When I fail, okay. And he senses it. Now, what is his responsibility? Pray and intend to help me. Not intend to help me and then pray. No. Pray and then intend to help me. And how will he help me? Oh, maybe by confronting me. Or maybe by becoming my friend over a cup of coffee. See, I'm to help you and you're to help me. And nobody's a super Christian. We're all in the same boat. We all have our weaknesses. I mean, Chris, you have weaknesses that I may not have, and I have weaknesses that you may not have, but we do sure enough have weaknesses, and we need help with the weaknesses. And so Jude is going to go through this here, and he's going to explain how this ought to take place in such a way that those with weaknesses can be helped and become a better servant of God. That is what he's saying. That is what he's doing. And so, here it is. God expresses his love to men. And then men seek to love God and his neighbor according to God's commandment and will. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Okay. The more you and I come to God, hear me now, with our sins, the more God grants us the gifts of mercy, peace, and love. Did you get that? Don't you miss that. My confession must be continuous as the Spirit of God makes me aware of my sin. Whatever it is. And so, the one gift flows into the other. This matter of peace, love, mercy. The one gift flows into the other. And so that you become, without even knowing it, what Philippians 2 calls harmless in a perverse world, shining as lights. And that's my responsibility. You see, here's the thing. God is the one who multiplies in my life peace. He's the one. Not my pastor. Not my wife. No. God is the one who multiplies peace in my life. And He multiplies love in my life and makes me aware with my intention to obey. He makes me aware of how much He loves me. He makes me aware of it. See, some of us, our problem is we're not aware of what God is doing. And He's in love with us. And He loves us beyond any description. So, here's the explanation. I mean, Jude could have written, mercy, peace, love be added. Now, he could have written that to you. But he says, multiplied. Now, what does that indicate? Oh, it indicates that God's gifts are doubled, tripled, even quadrupled. Oh, yeah. See? Look, here's addition. 2 plus 2 equals 4. 4 plus 4 equals 8. 8 plus 8 equals 16. 16 plus 16 equals 32. But now, multiplication? 2 times 2 equals 4. 4 times 4 equals 16. 16 times 16 equals 256. And 256 times 256 is 65,536. Whoa! Think of the multiplication when it comes to all that God does, when He doubles and triples and quadruples the gifts to us on a daily basis, and He does for us what nobody else can do. And it's amazing how often I find myself in the very arms of God being blessed abundantly beyond measure and then forget to thank Him. What is wrong with me? I'll tell you what's wrong with me. I'm not paying attention to the power of the Spirit of God in my life. That's what's wrong with me. And so, the multiplied numbers, they're mind-boggling. And in the same way, God applies the principle of multiplication to His gifts of mercy, peace, and love. God wants us to pray, hear me, wants us to pray and confess, and may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. So, what do you do? It's found in verses 3 and 4. What do? You affirm your faith. You affirm your faith. You be alert to the danger. Hear me now. Be alert to the danger of immoral people. And they are dangerous because they have a way to influence the thinking of other people simply by the way they present their case. I don't mean to embarrass her. But for 2 solid years, my daughter faced a difficulty in the office, in the place where she worked, where she took a stand over an immoral woman who was up the ladder in influence, and the risk could have cost her her job. And she went and stood for the truth. And God exonerated her, but not without a price. Because many of the office women turned against her because she took a stand against the immorality. Now many, many, many others, as was demonstrated today in her retirement party, many, many, many came. And I was there, and Josh was there, and Josh was there, and Farah was there, and my wife was there, and Elena was there, and oh my goodness, it was a joy. It was a blessing. And you talk about honor being shown this girl from people that are amongst the most influential people in Denver. So on one side, she paid a price. But on the other side, there was great honor. Okay, now, Jude's making a case. He's explaining. He's saying, you affirm your faith. You're careful about the danger of immoral people. And there's a description of even in verse 3, the pastor's responsibility. What is that responsibility? Feed the people. The word of God. The written, living, great blessing, word of God. Do you realize that what you hold in your hand tonight is not just written, but it's living? Do you realize that? Oh yes, the living word of God. The nutrition for your soul, which you need every single day. And so, the fact pastor is to feed the people, the word of God. He's to proclaim the gospel, and he does. He's to call the people to repentance, and he does. He's to urge the people to be reconciled to God, and he does. He administers the Lord's ordinances, baptism, the Lord's table. He is a leader in prayer, Acts 6:4. He seeks to maintain order and discipline, opposing any person who through doctrine of life wants to lead people astray. With appointed leaders, the pastor is a watchman on the wall, and he is to promote the well-being of the people. In other words, he's an overseer of all. So now, the warning. The names of persons, earthly and heavenly. The name of locations. The description of the action and practices. The description of the plans and intentions. The results and the promises regarding disobedience and rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of what? Witchcraft. You don't have to attend a coven. If you're a rebel, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I would call that serious. Huh? Amen. Yeah. So, now, after this warning, the encouragement. The encouragement to believers. It's a reminder of what the apostles said, be prepared to contend for the faith. Earnestly contend. I mean, you're to effectively oppose your adversaries with the gospel, which has been preached by Christ's apostles. Remember the gospel, verses 17 and 18. Avoid heresies, verse 19. Persevere and pray, verses 20 and 21. Show mercy, verses 22 and 23. Verse 22, be merciful to those who, hear me, be merciful to those who doubt. I'm not talking about somebody who's settled against the truth. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people who struggle. They have a hard time. They doubt, and you can help them. Your fellowship, your friendship, your love, your generosity, you can help them. I've had some times in my own life when I was greatly, greatly discouraged. I was. Malia is aware of some of the events that created it. And I found myself talking to myself, which I shouldn't have listened to. And then I had a friend. And he lives in Utah, and he's about my age. And he and I on the phone one day, we were talking. And from the Spirit of God, he began to say things that I know he told me later he didn't plan to say. And those things became a tremendous encouragement and lifted me from the valley of discouragement. That same man, I had some tax trouble one time. Not because I evaded tax, not because of that, but we got twisted up with some taxes and so forth. And so I went to a tax expert who's a friend of mine, and praise the Lord, over a period of time, he got it settled. And God, through him, settled it. But this friend of mine, now follow me. Follow me, don't miss this. He said, if you have to pay this fee, which was a lot of money, he said, how are you going to pay it? I said, Dennis, I have no idea. He said, here's what I'm going to do. You let me know if you don't get it settled. He said, I will mortgage my house and give you the money. Did you hear that? Would you just tell me, would you call that encouragement? I mean, how many would do that? Oh, yeah, right. Give me a break. That's what he did. I didn't need it, but that's what he said. And by the way, I know him, and he meant it. And he would have done it. You see, there's not a one of us in this room tonight who does not need encouragement. Not a one of us. And your day today may be bright, but you don't know about tomorrow. And I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. It's a secret known only to him. And every one of us in this room, we really do need encouragement. So now, the admonishment. Here's what Jude is saying. Look at verse 19 now. Once again, we looked at it earlier, but look at it now. Verse 19, these be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit of God. All right, now, here's what Jude is saying. These words that are earlier spoken in the beginning, they're still valid. And Jude is even going back into history. And he's saying that these words that he's writing, these words were also the same words back yonder And they're all the while still valid because they are the Word of God. Now, did you get that? This book is unalterable. A.W. Tozer said, the most serious thing you'll ever do is to just slightly alter the Word of God. Amen. I agree with that. Amen. I want to stay on solid ground. How do you do it? Stay in the book and don't try to change it. Let the book change you. And so, you dwell on the words, you meditate on the words that the apostles even kept telling the people in their day. And Jude even quotes 2 Peter 3:3. And the fact is, knowing this first, that they shall come in the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts. So at the end of time, verse 18, at the end of time, blaspheming people and mockers shall appear who shall express different manifestations of ungodliness. And in verse 19, mockers are the ones making divisions and sensual and not having the Spirit of God. And their remarks and their sneers make an impression on some people. 2 Peter 2:2. So I want, by the way, let me say, do you know what? That's why I don't listen. I'm not telling you to do this. That's why I don't listen to a lot of these CD television preachers. Now, I don't mean to offend you, but I get what I need right here under my pastor. Now, does that mean I don't read commentary? No, I do. I study every single morning and I read and read and read and read. And Amelia knows this. And I mean, I read every morning and I take it in and take it in and I need it and I need it. But my main source of anything that I need from the standpoint of a child of God comes from the mouth of my pastor, Craig Scott, or from the mouth of my pastor, John O. Scott, or from the mouth of Andy, or from the mouth of Steve. That's where I'm getting it, and that's where I'm going to intend to get it. And I'm not going to be altered from that. Amen? So I'm rather bold about telling you that. Because you see, I am old enough to see the other side of it. I have all kinds of friends of mine that have gone astray because they altered the Word of God. Folks, I mean it. I could name a list of easily 15 men right now. I'm so sorry. I hate it. I wish it weren't so. But I know one thing. By the grace of God, I certainly don't want to be one of them. And so I ought put forth every effort to fortify the brothers and the sisters in this body. Amen? And how is that going to be? It's going to be because I'm saturated with the truth of God. And then it's going to be because I intend to obey that which I'm saturated with. There is nothing in the world like that. That's it. Right there. From the heart of God. And I'm not going to let some book about the book lead me astray. And so, what is to be my final response toward others? If they are heretics, If they're apostate, I'll give them no time. None. If they are doubters, I'll do all I can to help them. If they struggle, and we all do, if they struggle, I'll do all I can to help them. And did you know that when you help them, a part of helping them is to listen? Did you know that? Not just talk, but listen. And as you listen and pick up their heart's condition and ask the Spirit of God to so use you to encourage them and help them. There was a day when Malia was way far away from God. And then there came a time after her incident when she cried out in the night and said, Lord, if I'm saved, I want to know it. If I'm not saved, I want to know it. And the grace of God and the power of God swept over her in assuring her that she was. I would call that wonderful, wouldn't you? And tonight, in this process of restoration, I mean, she is sweet now like she was when she was 10 years old. And she was really sweet. I mean, you talk about her being daddy's girl. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And by the way, you talk about her still being daddy's girl. Oh, yeah. See? So what is it? It's encouragement. It's living. It's admonishing. I mean, it's communicating the very message of Almighty God. Brother Ron, come here, will you please? I want you to see the two of us as we stand together here. Pretty much close to the same size. I mean, I do have Christian envy because he's a little taller. But the fact is, here stands a man who paid for your freedom in Vietnam. He did. And God in His grace kept him safe.
Amen.
But it wasn't without a price. And he would tell you, not in detail, but he would tell you because of the experiences, there are times in his thinking where it's difficult. But God in His grace is greatly using this man. And he's here. And by the way, we're not going to let him go.
Amen.
And so his family, praise the Lord for them. Praise the Lord for you. Amen. And so together, as we plead with God and live for God and preach this message and be done with it, in the name of Jesus, will you please pray and help us and do all we can together so that our pastor is not discouraged but is encouraged in the way we help him and the way we live. Amen?
Amen.
Brother Ron, please close us in prayer.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the message, Lord. For the opportunity to be here, even though we haven't a lot of wind and probably going to have some bad weather. We just thank you for those that came tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for God's man for speaking. And Lord, I want to thank you for Malia, Lord, for being able to retire and be able to serve you. I pray that you just bless her life, use her. And we thank you for Brother Chuck for giving him time to in his senior years, to be able to preach the Word of God, and may he continue to be faithful, Lord. And Lord, he mentioned about the Bible in King James Version Bible, Lord. It's any book that takes words out or adds to your word, Lord. It's of the devil. And, Lord, we have to be careful of that. We have to be on guard. And just thank you for the opportunity to be here. Pray in Christ's name. Amen.